Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. It's Adina.
Adina, good evening.
Good evening. I'm going to, Eliana and I are sitting down. We're just finishing up some dinner.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to mute myself in a second.
All right. Yep.
So you don't hear me chew.
Waiting for the others to arrive.
Okay. Are we the only two on the call at the moment?
So far, it's being recorded.
Okay.
It's being recorded, so just so you know.
Right. No, I know. I know it's being recorded. I was going to say, we're going to have pumpkin pie tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm not sure if I can get a carrot cake.
No, that's fine.
Okay, good.
Okay. There we go. Hello, hello. Hello, Joan. Hello, Trish.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Carl.
Good to be here.
Hey there. Welcome to the
Hi,
call.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, is Caroline on the phone?
Caroline will be with us shortly.
Hi, it's Adina. Hi, Trish. Hi, John. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Adina.
Hi, Adina.
Joan, yep, Joan. Who else? Just a colleague. How are you?
How are you doing, big man?
I'm doing well, doing well. Welcome to the call.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right, so let's get started. I know that there's a few more that may join us. I had gotten some text earlier. Some people had conflict, so let's start. And Caroline's logging on now. So welcome everybody. How was this week? How did that go? How was the experience? Well, let me just start just saying that, you know, last week we introduced everybody. Everybody was on the call that's on the call tonight, so we don't have to go through and introduce any new people. And we did a brief overview of the course, of what we're going to be covering over the next 12 weeks. And the key teaching points for the first two lessons were that the power is within us. We live in an inside-out universe. So everything that's, you know, what's going on inside of us is reflected in the world around us, in our facts and circumstances and so forth. So Caroline is on now. Well, welcome, Caroline.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, sweetie.
So we were just reviewing what we did last week, that the power is within us. We live in an inside-out universe. And you have the capacity and the power within you to create whatever you want, whatever you want. And we talked about your vision statement, you know, and everybody here has experienced a strategy session, and we went through visioning. So writing out your visioning statement, and then a couple of you did send it in ahead of time. We were able to review them and get some feedback and calibration back. I know a couple more came in not that long ago. So we will get to them, and we will respond to everybody individually. And I'm going to talk more about that. And there's four domains in life and that we talk about. There's our health and well-being is the first. We have our love and relationships is the second. We have our vocation and our financial time and financial freedom. So what I wanted to cover, and I noticed this as a trend when people are starting the Dream Builder process and writing their visions, is there tends to be certain domains that there's a lot of clarity in there. There's a lot of detail. There's some feeling tone, but overall I think everybody needs a little bit more feeling tone. And then other domains have less specificity to it. It's like, you know, I want financial freedom. Well, how does that look to you? What is financial freedom? So it's not as specific enough. It's like saying, you know, I want a lovely house. Well, what does that mean? What does that look and feel? And what I want to encourage everybody to do is you did it. The ones that I read so far, you did a good job of being present and being clear to a certain extent on what you wanted to have, the life you would love to live. But get more specific. And what I want to really get across is there's something that's called scaffolding images. We think in images, okay? So if I said your kitchen sink You didn't see S-I-N-K. You saw a picture in your mind of your kitchen sink, or if I said your car or your front door. You saw images of that. If I said the Statue of Liberty, you saw the Statue of Liberty. You didn't see the words flash across the screen of your mind. We see in images, and that's why the root of imagination is image. And our dreams, our thoughts are all in images. And so what I want you, what I encourage, invite everybody to do is write your vision statement in snapshots. It's so as if you were going through a family photo album, and you're going through these wonderful times in your past, and you're looking at these photo albums, and you look at the snapshot, and that snapshot captures that moment. It captures not only what was happening in the moment, what was going on around that time, but there's a feeling tone there. There's an emotion behind it. And then, just like going through a family album, and you see that one thing and it just makes you crack up, or it just fills your heart with love. It's that feeling tone that we really want, because that is the vibration. So when you're feeling that, that's you're raising your vibration into that feeling. So the feeling of love, the feeling of gratitude, the feeling of abundance. So the only difference here with visioning is we're creating those snapshots in our mind of memories of the future. And so we're using our imagination to rehearse memories of the future and get stepping in and putting on that vision of the future as that person who is living that life, who loves that life. So creating those snapshots. So Mary talks about the time when you know, she was, you know, just graduated high school, was just out of school a little while. She had, you know, her son John was 6 months old, and she was diagnosed with terminal fatal kidney disease. One of her kidneys was full of necrosis, wasn't working, and the other one was at 50% functionality. And the doctors basically said, you know, we're going to do an operation in the morning. We're going to remove one kidney, but the other kidney is 50%. We give you 6 months to live. So, but an interesting thing happened is the night before, as this woman came by, and she was a minister within the church, and she was going through, you know, door to door and praying with patients, and she would get a list of the surgeries for the next day, and they would be prioritized about the most severe first, and Mary was at the top of the list. And the woman came in and asked if she could pray, and Mary said yes, and she didn't do anything that was anything like prayer. So I'm not going to tell the whole story because you're going to hear it, or if you haven't heard it already, where the woman said, okay, well, what do you want? You know, tell me what happened in the last year or two. So she wanted to get a snapshot of what Mary's mindset and her, you know, her feeling tone was over the last year or two. And there was a lot of self-loathing. There was also a lot of self-hate, you know, a lot of shame going on. And then she said, well, what do you want to do when you get out of the hospital? If you were to walk out of this hospital healthy and healed, what would you do? She said, I want to be a teacher. And so what the woman helped her do is create what we call scaffolding images. So she said, I want you to see you are walking with your 5-year-old son. You have his little hand in yours, and you can feel the warmth of his hand in yours and the texture of his skin as you're walking up the stairs into the school. And you see the smile on his face, and he's excited, and you're excited, and you walk into his classroom, and you see the teacher, smiling teacher, greeting him with the other little kids around. And so that's a snapshot of a vision of her, the future, of a life that she would love to live. And by doing that, that image assumes or supports several things. Number one is that she didn't die, because now it's 4.5 years later, and she's still alive. And not only that, but her son is now entering kindergarten. So that's something that she wanted. The second scaffolding image, she always wanted to be a teacher. So now she said, Now you left that classroom, you're walking around the corner, you hear the clip, clip, clip of your heels on the floor, and you walk into your classroom where your students are waiting for you, and you're going to teach your class. So again, that's assuming that she's a teacher, she graduated college, she's got a degree, and she's a fully certified teacher. Fast forward. You're now at your son's high school graduation. You're in the bleachers, and you're looking down upon these caps and gowns, and you see your son walk across the stage, and that fills your heart with pride and joy, and you see your son looking up and waving to you in the bleachers. And so that's a snapshot with a feeling tone. And then fast forward again. Now you're in the front row of your son's wedding. He's marrying the love of his life. And you're overjoyed, and you know, to have this sister-in-law, you know, a daughter-in-law is part of the family, and so feeling that love and feeling that joy. So these are scaffolding images that this woman helped her create, and it's something that Mary rehearsed over and over and over again. In the time that she, you know, when she survived the operation, she was in the hospital for an extended period of time, but then her numbers started improving. So they allowed her to go home, and then her numbers continued to improve as she rehearsed these images over and over and over again, rehearsed these snapshots and stepped into those over and over and over again, and she healed her body, and her body healed, and obviously, you know, she's still alive today and survived and had many, many more scaffolding images and dreams that she's built and achieved. And so I encourage everybody to approach your vision with that same thing in mind, where you're creating these snapshots. So, if you've got financial freedom, I have. So, what does that look like to you? So, there was one gentleman. He said, "Well, that means to me I can go on vacation freely with my family, and I could see myself sitting in our beachfront hotel room, sitting on the balcony. I've got a scotch on the table in front of me, and we're watching the sunset." That snapshot to him was the snapshot of financial freedom, that feeling tone that came through. So I encourage everybody to find those snapshots. Now, creating vision boards is really good too. So if there's a particular car that you always wanted, well, find pictures of them. You can print them out on the internet, or even go the step further. Make an appointment at the car dealership and go test drive that, and make sure you get pictures of yourself in that vehicle. And that way you look at that picture and you can feel yourself behind the wheel, what the steering wheel feels like, what it felt like, the road beneath your, you know, beneath the seat and the wheels touching the ground. So, you know, or, you know, go look at houses or whatever it is that's going to give you that feeling tone. Take the pictures, create those images, especially in your mind, because we're pressing those images into thinking stuff, as Wallace Waddle says. We're pressing those images into that form. Because this thinking stuff that surrounds and permeates every space in the universe is like a bolt of fabric. So if you took a bolt of fabric and you threw it across the table, that bolt of fabric has unlimited potential. It can become anything. It can become a pair of gloves. It can become a shirt. It can become a pair of pants. It can become drapes. It could become a rug or a tablecloth. It's anything that a form is pressed against it. And that's what our images are. And especially with that feeling tone, that vibration, that's the form that we put on this unlimited potential, this bolt of fabric, where it's like liquid cement, and you create the form and you pour it into it, and it becomes the thing that you want. And the other thing I want to encourage you is not to use terms like "I want to be debt free," because our subconscious just takes everything as fact. It doesn't have a sense of humor. And so it doesn't know what debt-free means. It just hears the word debt. Or if I want to say pain-free, you know, it just sees pain, and it's just going to vibrate on that. And so we don't want to use those words. We want to use more positive, life-giving words. So I have zero balances on all my statements. I have zero balances on my bills, and my income statements are increasing every single day. Or I live a vibrant, optimally balanced health where I have, you know, a lot of energy and my joints move freely. And, you know, so it's just a way of really helping you to calibrate those images that you're creating and stepping into your vision. And I encourage you to put more detail. So at first it could be a snapshot, a single snapshot, like you took a photo. And eventually, if you got a bunch of these snapshots together, just like what happens in the movies, is they just take a bunch of stills, they put them in together, and it becomes a movie. And then it becomes a moving, living image that you step into. So if you're dreaming of a garden, what does the garden smell like? What does it feel like? Five-sensorize it. Bring it into using your five senses and really step into it and experience it. So I encourage everybody to do that. And really, one of the most important things is bathing it in gratitude, is really raising that vibration to gratitude, to love, to abundance. And some people do report that, you know, and I've experienced it too, it's not always easy to get into that vibration when you're doing your meditation or your vision work, to get into that vibration. So then use one of our mental faculties of memory. Go back to a time where that snapshot in your memory where you did feel that. You know, a birth of a child, a wedding, a good time with your family, whatever that was. Recall that and the feelings that you felt during that time, and you'll jump right into that feeling. And then while you're in that vibration, step into the memory of the future. It'll just make it easier for you to generate that and step into that. So I really encourage everybody you want to read and write your vision statement. You know, try to do it daily, or at least write it once a day, but at least visit it several times a day. I tend to do it in the morning, often when I wake up, and I may not go through the whole vision, but I'll pick a piece of it and really go into detail. So if it's a house that I would really love to have, what are the details? What does it feel like to walk in the front door? What do you see? You know, and then walk through it, touch the furniture, touch the table, touch the countertops. See yourself cooking. See your family in there having a good time, watching, you know, movies on your flat screen or whatever it is. Really step into it. And really have it be specific, paint the picture, and be in the present, and as if you're living it right now, right here, right now in the present time. And always, always, always cap it or end the vision with this or something better still. Because, again, the universe is unlimited. The possibilities are unlimited. And where we are with our level of awareness at this moment, we may not even see what's possible. Or we might even dream that big. But let the dream build. Let the dream become bigger and bigger and bigger. And you'll see once you start doing this work that dream just starts really flowering and coming alive. So it's like putting those paint strokes on a canvas. And it's just the depth starts to come through and the flavor and the texture starts to come through. And then maybe the dream is just too small in this area and it grows to something even better still. So always, always sign off on that. You know, hold your dream with an open hand, so that you can accept even more and have come even more. So I just wanted to really clarify that because I know, we do it too. In the beginning when we were writing our visions, it wasn't so specific. It didn't have the feeling tones. It didn't have the scaffolding images. So I really encourage everybody to go in and build that. So anybody have... Any feedback about writing your vision? Any comments on what I just went through?
Yeah, Carl, this is Trish.
Yes, Trish.
I wanted to mention that you talked about. I understand what you're saying about designing you are your own Michelangelo. You know.
Yes.
Also. I do get that, and that's really important. And I'm one of those that use the debt-free, so I got you with that. But I wanted to tell you something that I experienced yesterday, and I used to do this, and I didn't do it for very long, but I'm getting back into it. And now that you bring it up, I went to Disney World yesterday, and I went to a 5-star hotel, and I didn't know it was 5-star. And my friend took me there, and we had, and I was telling Caroline this, we had afternoon tea time. And it was very, very, very pricey. And we were surrounded by the very wealthy people at, $50 to $100 per person for tea and little handmade sandwiches. I felt like a princess for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I felt it. I lived it. I felt like I was on the Titanic.
Yay.
with a better outcome.
I was just going to say, pick a better ship.
Yeah, yeah. Titanic, but with a better ending, right?
With a better ending.
And the Grand Floridian is built. It looks like the Titanic, and had an orchestra playing, and it was everything that I could feel, and it's what I wanted, and I want to do this more, and I'm going to. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it and feeling that experience. of being around all those wealthy people and living that kind of lifestyle. So I'm going to be doing it again very shortly with my daughter, and I want that house, and I'm going to start looking at open houses. I'm going to go to open houses and start to get the feel and start to really experience it and live it. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Absolutely. And then, and so you have that experience and you felt like what that feels like. So then remember that, get that energetic signature into your cells and use that in your vision as you create those snapshots moving forward. That's brilliant.
Trish, and then,
and then to say, like, going to open houses and seeing, so this or something greater still, it opens that up. Make sure you take pictures of you in these grand rooms and these bedrooms, right, and the kitchens and all of that. So
Adina,
really
tell them
into
what
that.
You do. Adina goes to visit her dream home every day.
Practically. But I was going to say, Trish, high tea is one of my, like, passions. It's one of my hobbies. And about a year or two ago, when I created a vision board, one of the biggest things on my vision board was high tea, like once every other month. And I wasn't sure how this was going to manifest, you know. And then I have an aunt who has no children, and she's elderly, and she has plenty of disposable income. And she decided to start inviting me and the girls to high tea. And we've been going to high tea almost every other month.
Wow.
And it's been phenomenal. And I don't have to pay for it.
There you go.
That's nice. That's even better. Even better
exactly.
still.
But,
and creating these images doesn't mean you have to spend money to do it. Now, I know Trish went and she had that experience. But it doesn't mean that you have to necessarily spend the money. You can go to an open house. You can go to
her birthday.
Even better, right? Or you can go test drive a car. You don't have to spend any money, but you can have that experience. You can have that experience.
Well, so Carl, I
Caroline
remember
just... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Good.
No, go ahead, sweetie.
So I remember you saying last Monday night, I think it was you or Caroline, somebody mentioned about don't worry about the cost. I mean, you want to get to a point where you're not having to worry about the cost of the dinner at the restaurant or whatever. I looked at the price on the menu after the server placed the napkin so delicately on my lap. It was wonderful. And I went, oh, my gosh. And then I said, nope, I'm not going there. I'm not even going to look. I know what I want.
Good.
This is what I'm going to do.
Yay.
So go ahead, Adina. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to share that I fell in love with a house. Many, many years ago, I had been invited to an event at this house, and I walked in and I went, oh, my God, this should be my house. And now it's for sale. And so I have been visiting the house two or three times a week. And I what I've done, which has been really great, is I make it my exercise because it's about 2 miles or about a mile and a half. So I walk, I walk there, and then I sit in front of the house and make believe it's mine. And then I leave, and then the last time I went, I got a sign from the universe, because there was a handyman, and he didn't snub me because I imagined someone might snub me or something, and he said, and I told him. That I was there to visualize that someday this will be my house. And he invited me in and let me spend, time going through the house by myself.
Wow.
And so I was, like, literally wandering through this house.
And taking video.
I took videos of all the rooms.
That's
so I could imagine what I would put in each room and what I would,
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's
great.
Literally, like, stepping in, as often as we can. And this whole process, it really works if you work it. You have to work it. You have to do the exercise. If you want that beach body, right, you have to actually go to the gym. You actually have to do the work. So, it's about, and the whole thing is about putting yourself in a vibrational match with your dream. That's how the first law of the universe works, is the law of vibration. You have to put yourself in a vibrational match. So going to high tea, going to the house you love, spending time there with the pictures and stuff, and just getting that energetic signature, that's the vibration. That's what we really need, because You don't get what you want. You don't get what you need. You get who you are. It's where you're vibrating. And so by vibrating at that frequency, that's when things start to happen. That's when things start to happen. And this whole program is really about raising your awareness. It's to bring your awareness up, your vibration up. So you really want to immerse yourself in the audios and in the lessons. You want to let the teaching soak into your cells. Get it in deep. I mean, Carolyn and I have gone through this, several times. We've gone to so many live events with Mary, going through our very intense training, going through this, and they call it doing reps. So it's like you're doing your reps. It's like going to the gym and doing reps. You're going to do your life work here, doing the reps over and over again. And
yeah,
she
actually puts us into a time machine. And, all of a sudden it's 3 years later, we run into each other, and, oh, my God, so happy and grateful to see you.
Yeah, we do
and
that
then,
at the live events, yeah.
Over and really over and over again.
Over and over again.
And the more you do it, that feeling tone comes with it. And then as you're putting those, when Carl was talking about the scaffolding images, the more you do that and make it like a movie, like you're going through each scene, then you're able to get that feeling tone. Because the feeling tone is very important.
And what's really nice about this is because we're doing everything imaginally, is we can try on possible futures. You try it on, right? And that's what, when we're going to get into testing your dream, is that you can try on different futures. See how they feel. It's like going into a clothing shop, a high-end clothing shop, and you try on the different clothes. How does it feel? Well, this feels okay. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't fit right. And so you just keep trying things on, and you keep calibrating it. And the clearer your vision is, the more detail, the more we paint the picture of exactly what it is we want to create, the more energy we create around it. And it's that energy and that vibration. Once you're a vibrational match to that, the universe has to give it to you. That's how it works. God has to give it to you because you're at that vibrational match. So we really invite you to read and write your vision at least daily, if not twice a day. You want to tune yourself to it. Tune yourself to it.
Carl,
so,
when you say write your vision, what do you mean? Because like I wrote like a page when I was on with my strategy session with Caroline. Are you suggesting I rewrite that page?
Well, you can at least read it. Like because what's going to happen is over time, you're going to calibrate. You're going to tweak. And so you're going to have to rewrite into it. And again, we encourage, I'm a digital guy, so I like to type everything. I could type faster than I could write. But by visioning is the art of dream building. That's using our left brain. It's time and space. It's using our imagination. But the writing, ink on paper or pen on paper, is using the right side of our brain. So we're using both hemispheres in sync with each other. And that just really makes it come alive even more. So if you can write it, at least a couple times a week, because you're going to be adding detail to it. You're going to be adding flavor and smells and texture to it. And so, at least read it and read it out loud. At least close your eyes and step into it at least several times a day if you can. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by read or write your vision at least daily. The more you do this, the more reps you do this, the more you step into it. You're cellular, you're molecularly memorizing this, and you're becoming it. You're becoming it, and that segues really nicely into what this week's lesson was all about: is testing your dream. Testing your dream, because the dream has to be worthy of you. That's the whole thing. It's not like am I worthy of the dream? No, that's backwards. Is the dream worthy of me? And we do that by testing it, using five questions that we use to test the dream to make sure that the dream is worthy of us. It has to really resonate with us. And you ask yourself these questions. First question is, does it give me more life? The vision in all aspects has to be expansive. The universe is life is either expanding or contracting. So it's either living or dying. And we don't want to contract. We want to have more life. So does it give me more life? Does it light me up on every aspect? And so that really is like, so again, the feeling tone of financial freedom, what is that snapshot? What is that really mean to you? It's not about sitting on a pile of money. That's not what most, you know, that's not what financial freedom is for most, for everybody. It's what you do with that freedom of that, you know, that, that energy that the money energy gives you. What would you do? That's the feeling tone. Whatever that snapshot is, that's what gives you more life. That's the snapshot of that. You know, what does it give me more life? The second, and it has to be a resounding yes. If you get a, yeah, you got to go back and tweak it. It's got to be resounding, overwhelming yes. It gives me more life. So number two, does it align with my core values? So, you know, Mary tells the story about the woman who was a hairdresser and comes to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she really wanted adventure in her life. And she always thought adventure because the way she grew up was going back to school. I'm saying, you know, what was the definition
traveling.
Of adventure for her? Is traveling, right? Is to get a job on a cruise ship. But then you find out later in the story is that, you know, she got this opportunity. She was going to be, you know, like 3 months away from home at a time. But she has a little infant at home. And so she was struggling with that. Obviously, most of us would, you know, so it didn't really align with her core values. You know, is it really aligning here? So if somebody has a dream where, you know, I want to create a facility to, you know, to help, you know, single moms, you know, create, you know, home-based businesses and that sort of thing. But you're, let's say, you know, you're coming to retirement age and your husband really was thinking about moving to Florida and sitting on a beach for a while. Well, there might be some tweaking there of a core value. Because you want to be able to do something with your partner. You want to be able to do something that fits in with everything. Because one of your core values may be, I want, you know, to spend more time with my husband. I want, you know, to have the freedom to travel, this and that. So you have to really look at what your core values are. So does it align with my core values? It has to be resounding yes. If there's any hesitation, any contraction, any doubt, go back and tweak it and really look deeper into it. Does it make me grow? That's the third question. Does it make me grow? Because, again, life is ever expressing itself in a more freer, fuller, expanded version. So does it make me grow? You know, a lot of people say, oh, when I redo, you know, I hit the lottery, I'm going to sit on a beach and, you know, drink, you know, umbrella drinks for the rest of my life. But is that really going to make you grow? And I challenge it, you know, probably within 4 weeks, you'd probably bore out of your mind anyway. So you want to, you know, does it make you grow? You know, is there something that's going to challenge you to step out of your comfort zone that you would have to really strive for and build and learn and resonate with? So does it make me grow? You have to have a resounding yes. Does it require help from a higher power? So this one's really important because a lot of times, you know, people will come at it and they'll write a set of goals, but goals are not dreams. Goals are something that you already know how to do. You just maybe haven't achieved it yet, but you already know how to do them. And they could be lofty goals, and they could be, you know, really good goals, but that's not what dream building is all about. Dream building is something that you would really love that would require help from a higher power, that you just, you know, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I have no idea how this is going to happen. I have no idea how I'm going to go to high tea every other month. But you put it out there. You vibrate there. You put it on the vision board. You put it into your vision statement and vibrate at that and watch what happens. Because there's no way for Adina to have arranged that. I mean, yeah, I guess she could have called her aunt, but she probably didn't even think of it. And had, you know, tried to twist her arm and manipulate or whatever and get her to take her to high tea and the girls to high tea every other month. But that's not what happened. This came spontaneous. It came, you know, out of the blue. Well, where's the blue? I don't know where the blue is. God is the blue. It just comes down. It comes out. So it's because of where she was vibrating. And so it has to be a resonating, high resonating yes. And then number five, does it have good intentions for others? Does it have good intentions for others in all aspects of your vision? And so it has to have good intention for others. It has to have good in it. Now, sometimes you might say, well, you know, I'm really looking for the love of my life. I really want that man in my life, you know, and I can see him. I can see all that, you know. But how does that have good for others? And Mary even talks about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How is there good in that for others if I'm falling in love with somebody? Well, if you've ever been out in public and you've seen a couple together and you saw the love between them, how they interact, how they hold hands, how they talk to each other, how they look at each other, does that not give you, put a smile on your face? Does that not raise
mm-hmm.
you up a little bit? So there is goodness for others because they're just vibrating and they're just emanating that around to everything around them. So there is good in it for others. So, you know, again, it's who you become in this process. Is there good in it for others? It has to be a resounding yes. And if there's any areas where there's any hesitation, even for a split second, if there's any contraction there, you want to go back and really dig a little bit deeper and say, what's going on? How can I make this better? This or something even better still? You know, you want to be able to answer yes for all the questions. Then, and if so, if it's a resounding yes, then you know your dream is big enough for you. The dream is worthy of you. And then don't be surprised that it will grow even bigger, and it will grow even bigger, and grow even bigger. And so we must let the dream build us. If your dream is big enough, it will require that we become a different person than we are today. Because if you were already that person, you'd already have what you would love. So it would require us to become a bigger person, a better version of ourselves. And you have to remember, we cannot get to our dream. We have to come from it. And that's the whole purpose of this very structured system of support that you're engaged in. In order to become from it, we have to become it. So that's why I really encourage everybody you need to be a vibrational match. Step into it. Be a vibrational match. And the dream, you're coming from the dream, not to it. So a lot of people say, oh, he's like pursuing his dream. He's going after his dream. But that's not the way to do it. You have to become it. And have the dream come from you, come through you. You know, and sometimes this feels fun and exciting as you see and feel yourself growing. And sometimes it's more difficult because it means letting go of places, people, attitudes, thoughts, belief systems. Because not everything in your life right now will be able to come with you into the next phase of your own becoming. So let that sink in, because sometimes, you know, sometimes people come into our lives that we think they're going to be in our lives forever, but they really come in for a season. We don't know that. God knows that. Okay? And so your dream will bring up things that don't fit with it for release and patterning. So you're going to have to release it. You're going to have to repattern. It's like letting go of relationships or changing the nature of relationships. You're going to have to let go of behaviors and habits, because the person that's living that life that you want to live doesn't have all the habits you have right now. It means letting go of patterns of belief and paradigms. It may be letting go of a job. Okay? And so, you know, I heard it described one time. John Gray described it as, you know, sometimes people in your life are like booster rockets. So it's like if you look at the space shuttle, it's got like these booster rockets on it. And it takes you up, it takes the rocket up to a certain altitude. And that's its job. And then what happens is it lets go of those booster rockets. Because those booster rockets were only meant for a certain season, a certain part of your life. Because they can't go to where you're going. They can't go to the altitude that you're going. And that's just part of life. And we have to know that. And so sometimes it's harder to let go, but sometimes you have to realize that, you know, it's time to let them go. It's time to, if you want to step out of the boat and go to the next phase of your life, you have to let go. And it's interesting because the word decide means to cut away. So when you decide for your dream, it will require that you cut away from some things. You know, Michelangelo, he says that when he carved the great statue of David, he cut away everything that was not David. Our dream will require the same thing of us. We have to cut away what's not Caroline? What's not Collie? What's not Joan? What's not, you know, Adina? What's not Trish or Michael or Shayla? You have to cut away what's not you. And so you have to be willing to let that go for the growth, for the person who is living the dream, the life that you would love living. And so that takes some work. So sometimes it's really fun and exciting going to the high tees and driving that car and stepping into the luxury homes we want. And then sometimes it takes a little bit more digging, a little bit more, you know, soul searching, if you will, to cut away things. You have to decide. It's like that part of me, it's not going to come with me. It can't come with me, that habit, that thought pattern, that belief. It just can't. I have to cut away. You have to decide for your dream. So I want to ask, in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? So I'm going to open it up for some discussion here. And so in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? And are you willing to let the dream build you no matter what? So in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? So just open that up. Anybody can jump in.
Well, I'll talk a little bit. This is Joan.
Hey, Joan.
I've known for a couple years now that the job I'm in, the particular place and job I'm in, is, what's the word? It is holding me back. I even have people tell me on the job, what are you doing here? You know, you should be doing whatever, you know, and it's always more and more and more, and I feel it. So I'm totally aware that that's, you know, and it's like about stepping out is what it is, you know, and letting go of this fear that I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's one of the ways, remember, one of the ways our paradigms come up. So it's the three Ds, right? So one is,
yeah,
is distraction, right? It's like, oh, you got to wash the dishes. You don't need to make those phone calls. Or
right.
Dissuasion. It's like having the little devil on your shoulder going, well, you don't need to do that. Why do you got to move? Why do you got to do that? You know, just stay where you are, you know? And then the third D is DEFCON 1. That's the fear, right? That's when it just shakes you from the tips of your toes to the crown of your head, and it just shakes you. Then you know that your paradigms are coming up, that you're stepping to the edge of your green growing edge, and that's a good thing. So notice what you're noticing, and that's a good thing. And then we face our fear. You need to face the fear head on and say, all right, why am I afraid here? What am I afraid of? Face it head on. Right?
Right. And you know, I've always said I'm about growth, and I know that. I know that that's really important to me. But here's a place where, you know, about making the time for the shifting to take place, you know, doing what I said I was going to do, but also making the time for that to happen as well.
Yeah, so that's a good point, because a lot of people do bring that up to me. You know, I don't have the time. I don't want to put the time in. Or if, like, you know, if they're doing, you know, prayer work or devotional work or dream work, it's like, oh, you know, I don't have the time to do that. So here's what Wallace Wattles talks about. He said, acting in a certain way. What does that mean? Well, oftentimes in life, we're doing mundane things, right? We're washing the dishes or doing the laundry or doing something, you know, grocery shopping, mundane things. You can be doing this work while you're doing the mundane things. Because he said, act in a certain way. So whatever job that you have right now, wherever you're living right now, however you know, whatever you're doing right now, do it as the person in your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if that person in your vision doesn't have that fear of letting that job go, even though you're physically doing the job in that moment, but
mm-hmm.
do that job as that person. And
yeah.
So you're putting it on. You're being that person in that moment. So that's what he talks about, acting in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, well, if we could do moving meditation. We could do walking meditation. We could do walking prayers. You know, we could do this work while we're doing other things. And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I want to put an hour or two aside. And it may be hard in our busy lives to do that. But maybe you could do 10 minutes six times, and that gives you an hour. You know, mm-hmm. little bits. But acting in a certain way, being that person while you're doing what you're while you're doing your job that you're currently in, even though you want a different job, or you want to be, you know, build your Enagic business, your home-based business, or, you know, or whatever you're doing. So act in a certain way. So, yeah, if you're walking down the street and you're doing, you know, looking in the store windows and you're like, wow, the person in my dream would just walk in and buy this thing. Well, you could still admire that thing and say, you know what, I'll come back later to buy it. I don't have time to walk in and buy it. I can buy this, but I'm not going to do it right now. So it's as if you were that person already. So that's what he talks about, acting in a certain way. So you're putting that person on. You're becoming that person. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that way, because that person, right, wouldn't have the fear about letting go of the job because that person already let go of the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though mm-hmm. in the land of fact and circumstance, you're still in that job or even sitting at the desk or doing that job, but that person wouldn't have that fear because that job is already gone. So
yeah.
it's really, you know, stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, really, there's a marked difference between doing it the way you were and doing it with a different kind of energy and persona. Marked difference.
Marked difference, mm-hmm. and the shift is inside you.
Mm-hmm.
The shift is inside you. It's like I was talking with a client the other day, and he was driving in New Mexico, actually. His wife was driving, but he was doing the session. He was in the passenger seat. And it was, you know, he said, it snowed 6 to 8 inches last night, and I'm seeing the most beautiful, you know, scenery around us. It's just gorgeous, right? But somebody in the car next to them could be looking at the same exact scenery, but going, oh, all this snow again, and I get, you know, it's just a mess, and, you know, I got to scrape the car off, and it's just so cold, right? It's just seeing it from a different perspective. So it's the same exact experience, but coming at it differently. And then maybe that person gets a call, and, oh, you know, your daughter just had a baby, you're a grandfather. And now all of a sudden, life is different. They're looking at the scenery and with completely, but the shift happened inside them. Now it's a beautiful day. Now it's a gorgeous day. Or maybe they were, you know, waiting for that job, you know, that job offer to come through, and it finally came through, and you got that job. Well, that shift happened inside.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances didn't change. The shift happened inside, and it makes a huge difference, right? So now you make the shift. Use your thoughts, because we have the power to change our thoughts and to focus our energy. So change your thoughts, even doing the job that you don't want to be doing. Just shift that inside. Everything changes on the outside. So be that person. And practice that, practice that, practice that. And sometimes it's easier than others, but practice it. And that's why we want you to step into the vision as often as possible. And it becomes easier and easier and easier. And things start to shift on the outside. That's good. Who else? In what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? And are you willing to let the dream build you no matter what? Anyone? Everybody's contemplating all these words.
I have a question.
Yes, questions, please.
I need some more tools, or maybe just to discuss the tools. I probably
okay.
know them, but because one of my biggest challenges is that distraction.
Okay.
Even when I've got, you know, let's say the time to do what I feel like I want to be doing, I'm put up a lot of distractions.
Okay. So distractions is a big paradigm for many, many people. So what's the first brave thinking tool? Notice what you're noticing. Now, what that really means, you know, because when I first heard that, I'm like, oh, notice what you know. It was like, well, what's the big deal? But when I really got this made a really strong shift in me. So notice what you're noticing. Notice your feet touching the floor. And if you're barefoot, feel the floor beneath your feet. If you're wearing shoes, feel the shoes. Feel your clothing against your skin. Feel the air against the exposed skin of your cheeks. Notice the tips of your toes. Notice your calves and your knees and your thighs. Notice your bum on the chair. Notice the breath coming in and out of your lungs. Notice your arms and your hands and your fingers. Notice your neck and your head and your hair. What part of you is noticing that? There's a part of you that's outside of yourself that notices that, that has that ability to notice what you're noticing. That's your infinite side. That's your spiritual side. Because we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Mm-hmm. So that's our connection. So
right.
That part of us that's noticing it. So that's the first brave thinking tool, is notice what you're noticing. So now you're starting to notice, okay, I'm procrastinating here. That's a paradigm coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrate that. Because you know the paradigms would not come up if you were not getting to the edge of your own existence at this point. So you celebrate that. Notice what you're noticing, and you hit the pause button. Say, hold on, wait a minute. What's going on here? Why is the paradigm coming up? What is it that it's distracting me from? Because there's power in it. The paradigm is coming up because what happens is when you grow past your green growing edge, to your paradigms, it feels like death. And it is death because that operating system has to change. And so the paradigm comes up saying, oh, what are you doing? No, you can't do that because if you do that, I'm going to die. And so why don't you go do the dishes? Why don't you go do the laundry? You know what? I think you need to go shopping right now. And so pause, hit the pause button, take a deep breath because that just centers us back into our bodies again. And then ask yourself, what am I being distracted from? What am I being distracted from? What action is this distraction taking me from? And that's exactly, whatever comes up, whatever that answer is, that's exactly what you should be doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to move you in the direction of your dream, in the direction of growing. And so the thing is notice what you're noticing, hit the pause button. And sometimes it's harder because when that, like Joan said, when that fear comes in, it's a whole body experience. But notice what you're noticing. First brave thinking tool. Hit the pause button, take a deep breath.
Okay.
What is this fear coming up about? What is it preventing me from, where's that step I need to take right now? And take the step.
Okay.
It's trying to prevent you from your green growing edge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what paradigm jobs are. That's what the job of the paradigm is.
And Dina, you're not alone because that's what my paradigm is as well. So.
And it comes up for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But
I've been safe. Yeah.
I've been finding and making tools. Like Sophia was home, and it was amazing because I was so good at teaching her to do what I should be doing, right? So,
that's a powerful thing, right? Is like once you learn some of these concepts, teach it to somebody else. Because once you teach it to somebody else, it goes so much deeper inside you.
Sure.
Even though you may not be doing it yourself in that moment.
Right.
Greater awareness for it.
You know, she has probably the same paradigm that I have, you know, I see it, you know, there's some, you know, so she had homework to do and instead she's on her phone, but you know, she's a college girl. She has to get it done. So I said, look, this is how I got through college and was successful in college, was to set a timer, like 20 minutes. You're going to focus only on this for 20 minutes, you know, and then to break her break it down into those bits, and then after 20 minutes, you're going to have a glass of water or an orange. You're going to reward yourself, and then you're going to do another 20 minutes. You know. And
yeah, so that's a distraction, right? Like looking at your email, looking at Facebook, and all of that stuff. There's a new feature. If you guys have iPhones, there's this thing called Screen Time, and you can go in and actually put like self limits on it and say from this time to this time, you don't have access to these apps. And you set the timer, you set that framework, and it'll literally go, nope, you can't, you don't have access to it. And so, you know, Facebook is still there, but you just don't have access to it. You know, your emails are still there, you don't have access to it for that period of time. If you set it from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., it'll turn back on. The access will turn back on at 2 p.m. So it's a way of helping you to self-limit.
Well, that's really interesting.
Eliana actually brought that up to my attention, and she was using it herself. You know, Eliana's 12. She'll be 13 in February, and she was actually doing it to self-limit her, you know, to limit herself on certain
that blew my mind.
Social media apps.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's impressive. Eliana, I'm impressed.
Yeah. So have Eliana teach you that. But look at that. It's in Screen Time. It's built in now. It's a new feature that they just put in there. So, you know, so.
And she put it on Gavin's phone, and Gavin got mad at her.
Gavin got pissed because now he couldn't get into his social media for the hour or whatever it was. So is that helpful?
Yes.
So
thank
notice
you.
What you're noticing. Hit the pause button. Take a deep breath. And then what is the action step that this distraction, this dissuasion, this fear is taking me away from? And that's what we should be doing in that moment. And take a baby step. It doesn't have to be something grand. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. Take a baby step, because once you start a motion, it'll build on itself. The energy will come through it. And then you just keep practicing it. It's a habit. It's a habit that you're recoding. You know, we can't destroy habits. We recode them.
Yeah.
We can't destroy, we can bust up the paradigms, but we're really recoding them. That's what it's really about. And so the last part, and I really want to get into, and I really, you know, want to invite everybody to do, is what's called five sensorizing your dream. So we interact with our physical world, you know, our human side, through our five senses. And that's how we interact with the physical world. And so one way is you want to begin tuning in your whole body to the frequency of your dream is to five sensorize it. And you want to use all five of your senses to put on that life, try on that vision. What does it smell like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it taste like? Allow yourself to feel it in your whole body. So if you're going to that high tea and you're eating those finger sandwiches, what does that taste like? What is that richness of that cup of tea taste like? What is the leather, or, you know, the handle, you know, the steering wheel of that car feel like? What does the marble countertops feel like when you run your fingers across them in that house that you want? You know, what does it feel like to be holding your lover's hand, the man of your dreams or the woman of your dreams that is not in your life at the moment? But what does that feel like? So put the five senses to it. So allow yourself to put on that life. You know, what does that person do, say, eat, wear, that's living that life? Who do you hang out with? What kind of conversations do you have? How does that person walk out the door in the morning? How do you put that life on? What does that person watch on television or not watch on television? What does that person read? So you want to step into that vision and put on that person. So the whole thing is becoming. It's becoming. It's a powerful way to begin tuning to the frequency of your dream. So, you know, really put that in. Have fun with it. The whole thing, too, is spirit loves fun. So have fun with it. Have fun with it. So the life work for this week is you want to imagine yourself in your dream with your whole body, all your five senses. You know, what does this dream look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like, feel like, sound like? What are those snapshot images? You know, it's and if you're living that life, what do you say, eat, you know, where? Who do you hang out with? What kind of conversations you're having? Who are your, you know, you have new friends? You have, you know, stronger, deeper relationships with your friends? Put that person on this week. Really step into their shoes, their life. And then number two is, what's one thing that you can do to take a step in the direction of your dream this week? One thing. The universe rewards actions. You know, it says the Lord blesses our steps. The Lord, you know, so in that scripture is implied motion. It's not we're standing still. We're taking steps. We're walking. So the universe, God rewards actions. Our actions puts us in a positive, in a position to receive what the universe has set in motion. So even if it's a baby steps will get you to the top of Mount Everest. It's just one little step at a time, and then it'll start to accelerate. So make a phone call. Clean out a closet. Take action. And notice what you're noticing, because when those paradigms come up, when you want to take that action, the distractions come up. The procrastination comes up. The dissuasion comes up. The fear comes up. The DEFCON 1 comes up. Notice what you're noticing, but take that action anyway. And then this week you're going to listen to audios 4 and 5, and you're going to do the exercise, the life work and the workbook. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything for what we covered this week?
Yeah, this is Collie.
Hey, Collie.
Hi. What is it you said there about checking into what you're sensing? I'm paraphrasing.
Notice what you're noticing.
Notice what you're noticing. Now, if that exercise is within your commitment, you know, to what you want to achieve in your dream, shouldn't that happen almost instantly, that you now are not distracted as readily? I'm trying to think when that stops, when that notice that you're noticing transforms you into what it is you're really about, the I am in you.
So that's a good point. So if I understand the question right, is, you know, when you step into the vision and become that person,
right,
notice what you're noticing there too, right?
Yes. Right.
Because, and it could be instant, because then the fears, the paradigms, the distractions, the dissuasions all disappear, because that paradigm does not exist at that vibration. It doesn't exist as that person. So
okay,
it's like
so
what Joan was talking about. It's like she was afraid to change, you know, part of her afraid to change the job because that fear comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're that mm-hmm. person living that life, that fear doesn't mm-hmm. exist.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Got it.
Does that
and
make
one
sense?
One other thing, yes,
yeah.
It does make sense. Thanks for clearing that up. And the other thing is about doing as it pertains to, you know, the physicality of things and trying to get over some things that, and I have a lot of trust in being, which is that whole realm of getting a more resonance with
yeah.
the vibration, you know, that you're
yeah.
looking for, that you seek. So I find that, and in terms of growth, I think it's almost it happens automatically that when you're being about yourself, you cannot do it or be it without having others benefit from that or inspiring others to do this. I think that's where the real growth comes, is when we choose to inspire others to.
Yes, we call that being a person of increase.
Increase.
Being
okay.
a person. So you're by vibrating at that level, it's not just for you. It's for, like you said, it's for people around you. So
yes.
we call that being a person of increase. And so you are, you know, because our vibration is not just within our bodies. It emanates from us. It's like, you know, like a radio tower, like, you know, emanating a signal out, and
mm-hmm.
people will pick that up. It's like you walk into a party, and you know, you've probably seen people and go, oh, that person seems like they're in a grumpy mood, or this person, wow, I don't know what it is, but I want to go talk to that person. So
mm-hmm.
what are they emanating? It's, you know, maybe it's, you know, they're attractive and you want to go see them, but a lot of times it's an energetic field
mm-hmm.
that you're getting, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, by stepping into it, instantly being that person, boom, people around you will also benefit from it.
I guess that's what we call charisma.
That's what we call charisma, man. Yeah.
Okay.
And some other tools, I just want to add, Carl, and, you know, Mary taught about being a person of increase. Wherever you go, and everywhere you go, every person that you come in contact with, take the time, look them in the eye, smile at them, you know, wish them a good day, and, you know, be silent. Be a person of increase. Bless them with abundance. And I noticed that I'm doing that more and more. Instead of going in and out of the grocery store and walking out and not even realizing what the person at the cashier even looked like, because I'm answering a phone call and I'm looking in my pocketbook for stuff and not even noticing somebody. So that was another tool that was really powerful for me, was every single person that I come in contact with, gas station, everywhere, I smile at, I look them in the eyes, and I am that person of increase. And more increase comes to you that way.
Absolutely.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, yep. And bless them.
Yeah,
because, again, it's circulation,
yeah.
Right? It's what you put out, you know,
right.
Is what you will receive back. It's the law of circulation. Yeah.
Right. And Carl, give them the exercise that Mary gave us for 7 days, because that was really powerful as well.
Okay. And I know the call is running a little long. We're just, yeah. You know, we're 6 minutes after the hour, so we'll do this quickly. So this was a challenge that she did, and it's a gratitude experiment that we can do in our lives, since it's, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, is when you go to bed, right before you go to bed, is write 5 things that you're grateful for, that you're deeply grateful for, that you feel gratitude for. Write them down. And you're going to do that you could do it for 7 weeks. Mary challenged us to 14 days because we won't be on a live webinar with her.
We'll do it for 7 days until we reconvene.
Yeah, we can do it for 7 days until we reconvene. So you're going to write 5 things you're grateful for every single night, and you can't repeat them. So if you wrote, you know, I'm grateful for my dog, you can't repeat that in another night. So it's 5 things, so it's 35 things in general, you know, general, if you're talking about it. And then, you know, you write them down, you go to sleep, and you wake up in the morning, and you just revisit that in your mind, what you're grateful for, and start the day in gratitude. And so practicing gratitude will...
Before your feet hit the floor.
Before your feet hit the floor is a great way to start your day, and it's a great way to practice gratitude and being that person of increase, because it ties in with this exactly. So... if you want to do that, the gratitude experiment, you know, we could do that this week until we reconvene next week, next Monday, at the same time. Is everybody in?
Yep.
That creates a lot of ease in one's life too when you do that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys.
All righty, thank you.
Thanks for coming to class, and if they haven't sent the vision statements in, send them in. We'll get those back with some calibration, and we look forward to everybody have a happy, happy Thanksgiving, and we look forward
to you too, and to everyone.
Thank you so
much.
And we look
forward everybody to have a great time.
Be blessed.
Right, be blessed. Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.